Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Divas That Care. My name is Candace Gish, and I'm the host and the founder of the Divas That Care Network. I am just so excited that each and every one of you has tuned into our broadcast today. We have an amazing guest that is brand new, and we're going to be welcoming her to our Diva family. Her name is Vicky Griffith, and I am very excited to have her because she's going to be sharing some really cool things with you guys today. And for any of you that are just tuned for the very first time, you know, as I said, welcome. Our show has been running now for, oh my goodness, over 9 years. We have 11 hosts that have a variety of different programs. So I hope that you go and check them out at divasthatcare.com. So let's get started, everybody. As I said, my first guest for today is Vicky. So Vicky, welcome to the program today. I am just excited to get to know you.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to build this relationship and to learn more about you as well.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot of fun today. I really like the topic that you're going to be talking about today. But before we kind of dive into that, Vicky, could you spend a few minutes just sharing a little bit about yourself?
Sure. How far back do you want to go? When I was born? No, I'm just kidding. I have always been a fat child. I was actually really a fat infant and all the way up through childhood. I think about 10 is when I realized I was fat and that it was a problem for everyone because my mother took me to our family doctor. And at that time, the appetite suppressant of choice was actually speed. And that didn't last very long because a shy, reserved kind of wallflower child kind of went a little crazy. So mom took me off that pretty quick. But throughout my life, I've been struggling with weight loss, trying to figure out what's going on with me, what's wrong with me, why am I so broken, how come I can't fix this, and continuing to eat and binge and then judge myself about why did I do that, criticism, and then start the cycle all over again. And one day I decided that had to stop. And the day that I decided that had to stop, I decided to stop dieting. And I've actually released well over 50 pounds now. I've kept it off for 20 years. Through the system that I developed that has nothing to do with dieting and all about letting go.
Oh, I love that. Wow. And that's very powerful.
It is. Thank you. Yes. And it's not something that just came to me overnight. It was through trial and error and see what works and what doesn't work. And I know there's a lot of women out there there's a lot of women that keep looking for a diet to be the answer, and a diet isn't the answer. That's just part of the equation.
And we're always learning so much about that, aren't we? You know, it seems to be on a lot of people's minds. You know, it's a topic of conversation or of not conversation. You know, a lot of people don't really want to acknowledge it, you know, with when you're, you know, even, you know, in the school systems and, you know, I want to talk to you about that because I think it's really important. Because is this something that people are scared of talking about?
Well, it's very interesting. People are very open about, you know, what's the latest diet out there, what's the latest exercise craze, whether or not they're jumping on board. They're not so open about the reasons behind. What I say is, what are you eating? And it's not about what you're eating, it's why you're eating it. So, and it does start very early. I know for myself, I didn't recognize I was really fat, but I was always self-conscious. I was always in the background. And I always felt because of my fat was the reason why people didn't like me. Or people didn't care about me. As a matter of fact, it was just because I didn't have the self-esteem. So it's something that goes back in society as well, from the very beginning in how girls are treated that aren't necessarily supposedly the magazine image.
Well, and it's probably overwhelming nowadays too, even more so because of social media.
I would agree. I actually have a 13-year-old daughter, and I'm sorry, 13-year-old granddaughter, and it's really difficult to watch her going through this phase of, am I too fat? Does this make me look fat? And those are all things that are learned not only through society, but through our school system and through, you know, what does your mother show you an example of, about what it is to be a woman?
Oh, wow. So tell me, because this is probably a really strong topic for today. How are you, you've built a business around this. You know, you said you've lost 49 pounds. You've kept it off for over 20 years. How are you helping others? Because that's really what you're doing, is now you are taking what you've learned and you are helping others through this process.
Well, it's a totally different program than most people expect. And so basically the first thing I tell them to do is stop dieting. And they're like, what? I'll just go eat everything and anything. And I'm like, you might. I doubt it, but you might. That's a risk we'll have to take. We also stop labeling foods as good foods or bad foods, because when you label foods as good foods and bad foods, if you eat, in air quotes, a bad food that's not on your diet, then you start judging yourself and criticizing yourself. And that's when, and it kind of tickles me a little bit, but also in a sad way, when I hear women say, oh, I've had a pecan pie, so, or pecan, depending on which part of the country you're in. So I've blown my diet, so I'll just go ahead and eat the rest of the day and start again tomorrow. Or then it turns into, it's Friday, and I'll just eat whatever I want through the weekend, and I'll start on Monday. Or it's in the middle of the week, and I'll start next month, or I'll start after the holidays. And they start putting themselves in this cycle of being bad, you know, bad foods will start this whole cycle. And it also creates a judgment. So if you've eaten a bad food, then you must be bad, and you're not worth it. And it's funny how we create all this babble in our minds about ourselves over enjoying a piece of pecan pie.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's sad and crazy.
It's really sad. And it's all of us, you know, we do. We, all of our friends, you know, we're talking about, and, you know, you don't even go out for drinks, or if you do, it's like, okay, well, tomorrow we won't be doing that again, or, you know, going out for dinner. And, you know, you're supposed to be enjoying life. Life is so short. You can't stop living life. But now you're sharing with us how we don't have to feel guilty anymore, because a lot of it comes down to then we start having that internal anxiety you're talking about, correct?
Exactly. It does create that internal anxiety. And then what most emotional eaters will do is go eat more, which is what they're supposed to be trying to stop doing. So that's why my program has many facets, if you like two diamonds, so many facets to it, rather than food is just part of it. Today I was sharing with the group that their assignment for the next week is to go play. They're like, what? I said, you ever been in a program before where you're supposed to go play? And they're like, no, what does that mean? And that's kind of scary, sad too, because as women, we get so caught up, and you and I were just chatting about this, so caught up in the day-to-day. What do we have to do today? What needs to be done? What does my to-do list say? Did I get it all accomplished? Oh my gosh, look at the laundry that needs to be folded. Or someone needs to load up the dishwasher. I mean, we get caught up in all of that, and we forget about having fun and about laughing. So that was their assignment this week. I said, I don't care what it is. I don't care how long it is. It could be 5 minutes. It can be an hour. I don't care. But the intention is to go play this week. And they were excited because no one has told them they have permission to go play.
Oh, that's wild. I love that. And I really love that strategy, because you're right. You know, we're so overwhelmed with life that we forget to do the simple things and to look after ourselves and be kids again.
Exactly. And once we start looking through children's eyes again, as if we were a child, the world is awe-inspiring. It's amazing. It's to be celebrated. But when we keep looking at what we have to do or need to do just to get through the day so we can fall asleep in our bed, maybe, because most of us have sleep issues anymore, then the joy of life is just drained out of us.
So can you tell me a little bit about your program then? For any of our listeners that are tuning in, because I'm assuming that you do your program and you do workshops, also some things online, and probably things face-to-face, correct?
Actually, I don't work face-to-face other than through video conferencing.
Oh.
So my clients are all over the
perfect.
Country, including Canada. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
So
well, then can you please share what you do with them?
Certainly. So I'm actually a certified hypnotist, and I do believe that our belief system is the foundation of what we can launch ourselves off of. So regardless if it's weight or if it's building something in your career, changing your money mindset, most of my clients, even my weight loss clients, will come to me and say, I know what I need to do, I just can't get myself to do it. And that's what I help with, is changing the belief systems that's holding them back. There's a lot of, it's kind of like a web of where the beliefs come from. Some of them come from childhood. Some of them come from somebody telling you. My husband was told by an eighth grade teacher that he'd never amount to anything, yet he's C-level executive. So if he would have believed that, he probably would have been working as a cashier somewhere, which there's nothing wrong with being a cashier. I've done it. It's great. It's a great job. But he would have not lived up to the bar of his expectations. So that's part of what holds us back, is our beliefs, our perceptions. So imagine a child stepping up to, say a little girl steps up to home plate. She is the next hitter, and she turns around and looks at dad in the stands, and dad's giving her a thumbs up and smiling and like, you got this, girl. And she turns and she strikes. The next pitch is another strike. The third pitch is a ball, and the fourth one she strikes out. Turns and looks at dad. He shakes his head, shrugs his shoulders, and looks down to the ground. Now, what perception do you think she just created about herself in that very moment?
She wasn't very happy, was she?
No. And when I talk to my audiences when I'm speaking about this, a lot of them will come up and they'll say out loud, they'll say failure. She felt failure. She felt she disappointed her dad. She felt that, you know, she'd never be able to get it. Those are all perspectives that an eight-year-old may have taken away. She may have thought, well, it was just once and I'm fine. Well, you know, it'll be different next time I stand up. But whatever perception she created a belief system about herself that goes through the entire life. So it can be at a very young age, or it can be just yesterday. Someone said something to you and it kind of triggered you in some way. And so that perception creates a belief system, and we need to change the belief systems. When we change the belief systems, magic happens. It's so fascinating.
Do you work then with teenagers? So if a teenager was wanting to be a part of your program, is that something that you do? You would work with them?
It's very fascinating. It's interesting. That's twice this week that's come up. So I have worked with teenagers. Most of them, truthfully, not around weight. Most of them have been athletes of some kind and had an experience that happened to them. So in other words, I had a cheerleader who was dropped. She was way at the top, and they dropped her, didn't catch her, and she broke her arm. So after her arm was healed, getting ready for the championships, she was frightened because of what had happened. So I helped her get over her fear. I've had others who have had stress, anxiety around test taking and things in school. I've helped others who were competitive swimmers, and because they felt intimidated by the older kids, their swimming time started decreasing. And then we worked together. It went far beyond the other kids. So I've worked mostly, that's very interesting, mostly teenage athletes.
Well, that's fascinating. I like that. And a lot of teenage athletes know that that's part of the process of how they become better is having somebody like yourself or another team to help them through anxieties and so on. So I can really see that.
And a lot of the prime players from basketball, baseball, golfers will share that a lot of their programming for going into a game, tournament, whatever they're playing, is visualization. And visualization is a part of self-hypnosis. And they continue to see themselves winning. They continue to see themselves being able to dunk the ball. Michael Jordan was one of them that talked about that. Kobe Bryant is another one. So there's that aspect that if the athletes are using it for their performance, why can't we use the same techniques for ourselves to get over our weight problems or to get over our self-esteem problems so that we can live better, happier lives? And I do believe that's why we're here, is to have just amazing, emotional, I'm getting goosebumps, type of lives that we just can be happy and share with people and love and feel comfortable wherever we're at.
Oh, I love that. I love what you can do, what you're able to do with others. How empowering and inspiring that is to know that you're really making a difference in somebody's life.
Well, thank you. It's very special for me that I have developed these talents. My background, actually, I'm a left-brain person. I'm very analytical and very science-based, and I'm very analytical. And so these techniques that I use, they work, and I've seen them work repeatedly over and over again, not only for myself, but for my clients. And I have a business degree, so, I mean, a whole different life than what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So thank you. I appreciate that.
No, I think it's absolutely wonderful. So tell us some of the other things that you're doing. It says that you are a co-author of Life Boosts. And so I'd love to hear about some of the other things that you are doing.
Well, actually, I have one book that I wrote myself. It's called Stucked Up, A Breakthrough Path to Unstuck. And that one was actually an Amazon bestseller, so I'm very proud of that one. And then I'm a co-author in another book called the one you mentioned, Life Boost. And that one, I am with two New York Times bestsellers, and it's all about different ways to improve your life. And from each of us, I think there's 12 authors in there. Each of us has a different opinion. And there's even a couple people in there who do like losing weight, just like I do, but our opinions are different. So it's very interesting to see the different platforms that people come from and how they can help you improve your life.
Isn't that fascinating? And there's so many modalities, there's so many things out there. And I think that's what we like here on the Divas That Care also, is that we've had the opportunity to have so many different amazing women out there, and their techniques are different. But they're all so inspiring, and they're all, their intentions to help so many women out there is what we really love, and we're just excited. So having you here as a guest today has been very inspiring. Vicky, how can people get a hold of you? Can you share with us your social media so that we can go and check it out?
Well, absolutely. But first, I actually have a gift for everyone. So anybody who does want to get off the diet roller coaster and actually create permanent weight loss or weight release, you can go to www.tiny.cc/lose-now, and you'll get the 7 strategies to weight loss. They're so simple, things that you can just do every single day, tweak it a little bit, and you'll start releasing weight.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I will be posting that on all of our social media links so that people can check that out also.
Oh, sweet. I appreciate that. I am on Facebook as well, so Vicky Griffith or Breakthrough. And I am on LinkedIn as Vicky Griffith. I am on Instagram as Breakthrough, Twitter, Breakthrough EFT.
Thank you so much, Vicky. That was wonderful. And one of the things I love to ask our guests that come on our program is there any last minute tips, tools, things you'd like to share with us today?
Absolutely. So I gave you two: one, stop dieting. Two, stop labeling food. The third one to that is stop weighing yourself, which seems counterintuitive. But the scale tends to create a lot of judgment about ourselves and about our body. You are more than your body. And if the scale goes up, there's a tendency to feel badly and feel guilty and shameful. And if the scale goes down, your day is starts out with a yahoo, and then you go have two donuts. So stop weighing yourself and start looking at how your clothes are feeling on you. And that will be a better way of starting your day. Start your day with a positive affirmation rather than stepping on the scale.
Thank you. And I'm actually going to ask you one last thing. For any of our, because we do have quite a few women that have teenagers that listen to our program, what could you say to your teenage daughter to empower them through a process like this?
Help your daughters realize that they are beautiful and the beauty comes from inside. Their beauty comes from caring about other people. Beauty comes from loving other people. Beauty comes from being smart and wise, and you know, all of the attributes of, about the personality and the person rather than the outside. Let your daughters know that they're precious, that they are adored, that you love them so very deeply, and that you will always stand by them. And by having you as their parent in their corner, you helping them to stand up and be proud of themselves and to take risk. And it's okay to take risk. It's okay to like things like welding and building birdhouses. My husband will actually tell you I'm a better handy woman than he is a handy man. So cheer them on for doing things outside of the box, and help them to win at all of the things that will bring out their best in themselves, whether it's sports or you know, beauty pageants. There's nothing wrong with all of that. It's about what you're feeling on the inside.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, I had a great time with you. I hope that you come back on our program again.
I would love to.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. And, thank you for having me.
And I just want to say thank you to all of our amazing listeners that have tuned in today. You know what? It's because of you and all of your friends and family that we've continued to do this program for over 9 years. You know, I thank you so much for that. Thank you for being supportive of all of our Diva hosts and all of our amazing guests that come onto our program. You know, if you want to be a guest on our program, or if you have an inspiring story that you'd love to submit to one of our anthologies, please check out our website at divasthatcare.com and submit there. I hope that each and every one of you has an amazing day, and I hope that you do something kind for somebody out there. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.